Happy Juju, how are you? What are you doing? Why are you not picking up my phone?
Well, David Chumi, I'm just scrolling through my phone, going through my WhatsApp, my Facebook, and all that.
Serious, what's the time now?
Wait, it's almost 1800 hours! I need to tune into Eagle FM! Business Economic Segment is about to play now!
Yes, listen to Business and Economic Segment with David Chumi from 1800 hours to 1900 hours when we talk about business, economics, trade, and current affairs. Do not miss out if you want to learn and move forward with economic advancement.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Business and Economic Segment with me, David Chumi. And yeah, it's that time of the evening that we look at what needs to be done, especially when it comes to business. Let's make money. Let us make nyukus. And, you know, just concluding the conversation with my colleagues, especially Helmut and Dwight. You know, when they speak about a plan, speak about funding, speak about the budget, when somebody is saying, "You are my developmental partner," the question that you are asking yourself, if I am the developmental partner, what am I developing this person and with what? And the concept of going to North Korea, I mean going to South Korea and attend a PowerPoint presentation, you know, that thing should really stop, because especially when you are looking at the budget to be announced, this aspect of prudent financial planning should really come into mind, because we cannot afford to lose a dollar. I remember during COVID-19, there was a certain head of state who went to Europe, and people were saying, no, the meeting now is going to be attended online because of the situation of the pandemic. The guy said, no, I'm coming. Then when he went there, and do your own research, it's not me to speak about any other people. The guy went and he attended that meeting in his own hotel. Then you're asking yourself a question, really, to say, where are we spending the money, and what are we doing with our God-given resources? So, dear listeners, for those of you who are coming on the radio for the first time, this is the platform that we discuss our issues, particularly domestic affairs. And we always pay attention to those who contribute more to the national economic development. Speak about the taxi drivers, speak about the capana sellers, the vendors, the security guards, the bouncers, everybody who is at the economic front line. They may look like they are not doing anything, but those are the guys who, when it comes to budgeting, when it's coming to the GDP, they are the one who are keeping finance securing. They are the one who are keeping finance securing, and also they are the one who are making sure that, you know, we keep the energy of the country running. So before we look at what do we have on the table today, we like always advising each other, and also making sure that, you know, sometimes some days are not feeling like any other day, but we must not forget that we have a project to complete. We must not forget that even during the bad day, we must not forget our plan, because your plan does not care whether you are going to be offended at one point, or your life plan does not care whether the economy is going to perform below 3% as it is. And, you know, reading one of the article written by Mr. Sharma, especially well-known economist, speaking about the prediction of 2026 to be 3.89 there. And I'm always asking myself to say, whether we have a positive prediction or a negative prediction, what do we do about it? Because if you listen very well to Eagle FM and you listen to one of the jingles that speak about 6%, Namibia at one point achieved 6% when it comes to development, then the question is that when was that, and what are we going to do in 2026? Yeah, looking at neighboring country South Africa, it was stated that Bellarmine Chatunga Mugabe, the youngest son of Zimbabwean late former President Robert Mugabe, appeared in South African court that is today faced with a charge of attempt murder after he shot a gardener. And the 29-year-old co-accused Tobias, Mugabe, who is 33, also faced charges of defeating the ends of justice. And these are the sons and this is the son of Robert Mugabe. You know, controversy does not go far. And controversy does not go far. The son of who at one point was one of the strongest men in SADC region and also in Africa. And he went down the most educated president in Africa. But what we see, how can you shoot a gardener? It's really not an unfortunate, just a criminal offense that need to be dealt with by the, you know, by the end of, or by the court itself. Yeah, there was a caller on the line, 083-288-401, 083-288-401. This is Business and Economic Segment with me, David Shombe. That is what's happening. That is what's happening in South Africa. And my question has always been, why the cases of neighboring countries are always happening in South Africa? Why the cases of neighboring countries are always happening in South Africa? Because even, let's look at the caller. Good evening. Hello. Hello.
Hello, Ensha.
Hey, how are you?
Yes, I'm good.
Hmm.
Oh, sorry. Okay. Yeah, it's me here, my brother. How are you over there?
I'm doing very well. How are you, Chief?
Yeah, I'm doing fine here.
Hmm. Are you in Zambezi?
Yes, I'm calling from Zambezi, Mr. Mashavela.
Oh, Mr. Mashavela, how is the evening?
No, we are doing fine here, sir.
Mm.
Yeah, only to find out because our Lord says it's not on the air.
Oh.
What is happening there? I want to find out here.
Oh, no. I think we are using an app, particularly in the area where we are not able to communicate via the frequency. We are using an app. Are you aware of Eagle FM app?
Okay.
Yeah, if you can just go to Play Store, App Store, then you can download that. Then you'll be able to connect with us. But currently you are on air. Maybe you also, okay, will also be able to communicate to say, maybe you can also give your contribution that now you have called. But other than that, you can download the Eagle FM app. We are discussing about, you know, what we expect from 2026 budget and which part do you think the government should invest in, and what maybe we have lesson we have learned in 2025 that we should not repeat.
Okay, that is the topic for now.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyhow, even though I'm driving now, so yeah, I'll try to, I'll try to contribute by next time.
Okay, no problem. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, sir.
All right. Yeah, it's very good, especially when you have those who are interested. If you are looking for us, you can find us anyway, wherever you are. We are saying, even if you are in Tripoli, even if you are in Gaza, even if you are in New York, especially if you are connected online, you can be able to download the Eagle FM app. Go on Play Store, go on App Store. Then that app will take you wherever you are. We also have student of economics and student of postgraduates who find themselves in different parts of the world that the app can be able to connect you, and you can be able to engage us, particularly in the topic of conversation. So, 17 minutes past the hour of 6, you are listening to Business and Economic Segment, and we are talking about some of the issues of continental affairs. Apart from the son of Robert Mugabe, the question is always, why always in South Africa when they are still fighting? They are still fighting, particularly Zambia, our good neighbor from Zambia there. They are still fighting to say President Edgar Lungu, who died in June last year, still not buried. The fight is still on. The government hires best advocates. The family of Edgar Lungu has also hired senior counsels to fight that case. Somebody is saying he must be buried in South Africa because he has given a statement. But the government is saying he was a national hero. He was at one point the state president, and Ed Garungu must be buried at home. And how long this case is going to go? And also the question that we should also ask is that how effective is the judicial system? How come the judicial system keep, a case like that for quite a very long time and unfinalized? And such an important and respected man who was having the highest office on the land, still his future in terms of burial is in limbo. And when people are saying rest in peace, is that really the resting in peace that the family and their loved ones want? And it's quite critical, and it also says a lot about how we operate as Africans, and also to look at maybe what lesson can be learned from here. Because one thing that you need to understand is that sometimes anger, political conflict, and unforgiveness will not end when one left this world. That's why sometimes it's also good to find a way on how you can be able also to find a compromise and working together, because it's not a good picture. It's not a good picture looking at that aspect, especially when it comes to Zambia and also the state versus Garungu's family. Who will be able to win that, and what is really going to happen moving forward? And looking at Nigeria, killing is not stopping in Nigeria. Killing is not stopping, especially looking at the fights between the Nigerian army and also the jihadist. Good evening.
Yes, good evening, Mr. Shonde.
Yes, how are you?
Fine, thank you.
I'm well. How is the evening?
Well, we're doing good.
Yeah. No, there is no need to complain. What is your contribution?
There's no need for complaining.
Yeah, because there is a saying to say, whether you complain or not complain, life is not going to stop. And that is also energy wasted. What can you do about the problem in front of you? We are speaking about the budget today. What do you expect from Meme Shafuda? Are you happy with what happened last year? How do you expect this budget to be, and what are some of the key priorities?
Yeah, thank you very much. If that is the case,
yeah,
I think last time people have done so good to pay off our money, our debt. And there was also a thing that I heard from her, how she... He has that her leadership vision is to make sure that she mobilize resources domestically for domestic consumption. And if she's getting to realize, especially mobilizing the resources, that now includes the financial resources and the human resources, so that include the technical capacity and all these other things. I think if that is the case, then she can good and right projecting. So in terms of her leadership and financial management style. And remember, those people, she's also a mathematician, that.
Yeah.
So when it comes to figures, you don't just give her figures. She will ask you, because the 3%, then what? So when you now try to analyze and question those figures, whether they really they mean something, you know, in terms of the impact, in terms of improving the life of the people. You
know? Yeah.
So if you adopt those kind of style, and leadership and management, if you have somebody who is have a balanced diet, you know, the person is balanced. In terms of mathematics, in terms of leadership and management.
Do you expect 2026, 2027 budget to be different from the previous year budget? And well, what do you think is going to be different?
Yeah, I think it's going to be different. For the fact that she has also oriented herself with a lot of things. And the other ministries,
What are you saying about orientation? Is she new?
If I knew.
What do you mean by orientation?
No, I was just talking, looking at them.
No. You spoke to say the minister oriented herself. If I did not get
yeah,
you.
She has acquired sufficient insight and understanding.
But she has been there already for a long time. As I think, was not an ED.
Yes, she was there already. But
there's no need for orientation because that is her home ground.
That's why now I was looking at you. Remember, that is the time where we were told that some of the policy directives and acts, I think, they were proposed that, yes, most of those insurance companies do the things, the money must remain here, shouldn't go out again, and all these other things. And I believe the correction of man, the birth of Namla, and all these other things. You remember how much these people have corrected? And the money were shipping, the money resources were shipped out, either through inaccurate invoices, you know, submission, and a lot of things. So I believe that she has accomplished a lot now this time around. Yes, she has been
okay.
There.
Okay, well, what do you think ACC will get this time? The last time got 116 million. It was the least funded among all the agencies.
Which one? What did you say?
Anti-corruption was the least funded agency. Do you think there will be some improvement?
Yeah, if they can really make sure that they work so hard.
Do you think it needs to be prioritized?
Yeah, it must be prioritized. I think you, so together with you people on the corporate governance, as you now, because if you look at the issue that we're looking at this morning, and you might also find the corruption going down and all this kind of maladministration going down. And fine, if they got a little money the last time, and they can submit and motivate their budget or whatever, I think it's already submitted. So, you know, there to get a good spec there is how to motivate. And really come up. If you motivate the budget that this one is really going to respond to the critical issues. And then I don't think they will decry that thing. But sometimes you just say, so if there's no tangible kind of outcome that measurable, then you might not get a lot. But I think because of that, the watchdog and things like that, and maybe we also look at the element of whistleblower protection.
If I have to ask you, if you find yourself in a situation where you have to redirect fund, which area do you think you need to take fund and you redirect it? Which area do you think need to be prioritized? Because there are always aspect of saying you don't need this much or you are not using this much. Now I'm taking from you to balance here because it's just an aspect of balancing, looking at the situation. We have seen it during the midterm review.
Yeah, so in the area that
which ministry do you think has performed well or does not need more money, or which ministry do you think is doing better or does not need more funds?
I think education in terms of incorporating and having some models that can really help, like especially in the BTC areas, the green hydrogen, and all this area, those critical ones, you know, because if you revamp and make sure that you equipped in the BTC, so they can produce a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
But also now organize those who are, like I was looking at the Prime Minister's volunteerism kind of initiative.
Mm.
And then it's, and if you can organize, there are also other areas which really need money, maybe in terms of really helping those who, maybe the graduates, and then just to realize their dream, maybe in terms of coordination. You know, this thing, every sector, because most of the critical issues, the poverty, is the unemployment, most of the sectors supposed to play a role because they have got a stake in that. So those who get little,
mm-hmm.
they can still see how they can utilize just the maximum, to get maximum benefit with the little one they get. So that in terms of VTC, you know, UNAMS and all these other things, if they can also make sure that they introduce some of those critical courses, module courses, the entrepreneurship seriously, even to revamp some of those secondary schools and convert them into technical colleges.
Thank
you. The young ones who can be trained in those technical subjects and make sure that they produce, they become manufacturers, things.
Thank you.
Welcome.
Yeah, we are looking at business and economic segment, and we are speaking about the current moment that we are. We are speaking about financial prudence, being cautious, being economical, and at that aspect also, you are economical at the same time, you are looking at the future. To say what area need more investment, what area is not using money, which ministry was overfunded, which one was underfunded, which agency was underfunded, which one was overfunded, what is a priority, what is the focus of the budget? Is it going to be now more on developmental projects than operation? Where is the money going to come from? Are we going to get how is the contribution of the correcting agency, and also you know, funds from outside, and how is our borrowing plan this year? We have a borrowing plan this year because remember last year we were almost at the borrowing plan, was it at 29 billion, almost 30. This is a borrowing plan. How is domestic funders going to be used? But most importantly, what does a budget 2026-2027 going to mean to the people of Namibia? Because money in terms of numbers is not a problem, but the impact of money is what is necessary. Money impacting the lives of people is what is necessary, because budget continue to increase, because remember 2024-2025 was at 101 billion, and the previous year it was at 106 billion, and that difference in terms of finance or number, is it going to be felt, or it's just numbers on the table? And also, let us look at our priorities to say, is the budget going to be also in line with national developmental priorities? Because you have a game plan, you have targets, you have deliverables, then you have fundings. Are we on track? What are we doing right and what are we doing wrong? What disturbed us on the way in terms of where we have to go? And it's quite interesting because budget is not only about economists, it's not only for finance people, but also for you to get a sense and meaning, and also to say, if you are into this area, where is the money going? Because one of my colleagues, whose name is not going to be mentioned, always saying, no, David, look, it's quite important, particularly to entrepreneurs, to look where the money is going, because budget is not only about funding, but it's also where the money is going, and how can you plan based on that, because this is also the time that institutions and agencies will be able to plan moving forward, and also how business sector and NGOs going to meet, the government on the way. And economists advise to say, pumping money on a problem does not solve the problem, but understanding the problem and also having right mechanism is going to assist us. But it's interesting. It's a very interesting time to, it's a very interesting time to be alive. It's a very interesting time also to see what will happen moving forward, and also maybe also to ask yourself a question to say, as an individual, have you felt the change in terms of budget? Have you felt the change? And I understand there is always something which I praise, especially developmental training programs. So one of the things which I think should be more emphasized on is this developmental training program, particularly post-universities, because there is a congestion there. And if post-university life is addressed well, then it's going to be easier for not only government, but also the citizen to focus on projects. Even if you give a student 2 months, 3 months internship, that amount of money, that exposure means a lot to life, because it will be able to connect to where the person is able to get into. Because the problem that I have been in Namibia for a long time is entry level, because, and it's a reality of life. You find somebody who graduated 7 years ago, and these individuals even forget the course that he studied or she studied, because there was a big detachment from what the person studied and what the person ended up doing, just because of that little entry. But one of the things which I have seen is that aspect, and also maybe for the ministries too, an agency, to be given that directive to say, you need to make a cut. It must be sustainable, so that Namibian working force should be active, not just to be, not just to be there, not doing anything. I was listening to the interview of Panyazale Sufi, and also Buiseni Ndrozi. But what is interesting, what is interesting is also that one thing which Panyaza has stated is that them being in charge, they have to be blamed for everything, because you give me education through subsidized education, I still want you to give me a job. You give me a job, and I still want you to give me housing. You give me housing, I want proper housing. And also to say, that is a responsibility. If you are in charge, you must be able to get all those complaints, but also be able to understand that that is not a favor. It's actually not a favor. It's like a parent buying clothes to the child. That is not a favor. And those guys who run away, or those mummies who run away, it's not only about the papas, the mummies also run away. It's your responsibility. And exercising of state power to deliver on the deliverables is not a favor, and should be also done in respect across the board. To say, you cannot just cry to say, government do for me this, but the government has that responsibility, and it's not a favor actually. And we must meet at that level of a social contract to say, I need to be safe. I need to go to school. I need to work. I need a safe environment. I need a place for recreation. And I need housing, proper housing. And that should be addressed, especially by the government that is charged with the responsibility of exercising the state power on behalf of the state. So let us look at a short commercial break. Then we can continue with the conversation. It's 38 minutes past the hour of 6. And you are listening to Business and Economic Segment. And we want your view. We want your perspective. What do you think the 106 billion budget of 2025-2026 was lacking into? What do you think was done well? And We must also compliment the way things are done well, because it's not correct. It's not right for you just to say everything is going south. That is not a reality. There is always something that you are happy about, particularly with the previous budget. And the youth fund is one of the things. And I still want to, it's very difficult to meet people with money. Those who got youth fund, you don't even see them now. But it's also good to see that the government should not only abandon, but also monitor and evaluate where the money is put into, and see that those who were funded, where are they? Are they using that fund correctly? Or they have already bought their goals and they are out of the country? Because that is also necessary when you speak about monitoring and evaluation. And everybody will speak about numbers. Everybody will speak about numbers. Everybody will speak about we are going to have a mechanism. We want to see that. That is exactly what they want to see. To say in terms of analyzing where you invested last year, in terms of analyzing your financial distribution, your tool of analysis is saying what? What is your tool of analysis saying about where you have put money last year, where you have put money within this budget of 2025? What are your tool of analysis saying? Is this money used effectively? Is it returned back to treasury, or is in the process? And as we are coming to the end of the financial year, what, how much is returned to the treasury? Who went and asked for more money, or who did not use any finance? And if not, what can be done? Because there was a time when the Ministry of Agriculture, I think at that point of that, I think it's around post-2021, they return around 100 million to treasury. Then the next year, that they pumbo cut their budget. They say, no, it's not enough. It's not enough. Then the question you're asking yourself is that when you are given enough, you are returning money back. When you are given, when you are not given, you say you want money. The question is that how many ministries plan, budgeted within the year, and implemented that? Because one thing that we cannot afford to do currently in Namibia is losing money by other means, by any means necessary, and is also retaining money. What we need is prudent financial planning and strong monitoring and evaluation. And that's the only way that we are going to win, because that Carito 106 billion should be enough if we implement it correctly. And if we have to analyze, and also, and I think we have a good minister, a prime minister too. A punitive approach is also necessary, because if you are not performing, let us have a punitive approach to say, how do we discipline those who are wasting the resources of the country in the times of need? Because if you are given money, you do not have projects, or you are just going there to open institutions and clap hands without establishing anything, that uncreativeness must also be addressed. Because if it's not addressed, how are we going to move forward? Because the punitive approach is necessary, because we are human beings. And if you don't have a punitive approach, that is based on facts, to say, we give you this budget, you are in this ministry, what did you do? And did you serve the people that you are given into? And why do you have a white elephant project within your ministry? Why they are still standing? And yeah, let us look at a short commercial break, then we can move on. You can still engage us at 083-288-401, 083-288-401.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any
staff. My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I am planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Ipuranengelo wapumbwa Eva Tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nwe kutite opoye ekukurile. Oshafafa na nongeshe faili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshuala. Onongeshe fa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi to danjuka. Okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi inawa. Nune udo otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshe fa omarudi dayo loka. Opone ushendi fenawa nokumona oijamo ili nawa. Ninge pata fanona Monica ko Eagle FM. Onore tatu imwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali. Ile konderewa mura hetatu natu bali o hetatu batatu oma filane Eagle FM. The eye.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Happy Juju, how are you? What are you doing? Why are you not picking up my phone?
Well, David Chumi, I'm just scrolling through my phone, going through my WhatsApp, my Facebook and all that.
Serious, what's the time now?
Wait, it's almost 1800 hours. Mm. I need to tune into Eagle FM. Business Economic Segment is about to play now.
Yes, listen to Business and Economic Segment with David Shombe from 1800 hours to 1900 hours when we talk about business, economics, trade, and current affairs. Do not miss out if you want to learn and move forward with economic advancement.
Eagle FM, the eye.
46 minutes past the hour of 6, you are listening to Business and Economic Segment with me, David Shombe. We have around 14 minutes before we give the mic to Tumwa team. And today we are looking at a few days to go, few days before the new budget for the next financial year. And that is money, that is finance, that is national budget of 2026. That is finance to be presented. How much is going to be? How much is going to be? Because the date is it's going to be on the 26th of this month. And I see Mama Shafuda has been very busy. I did not see her these days. I think she has been very busy looking at those numbers. And also divined. It's a very difficult job. It's a very difficult job. And so requires somebody who can navigate through, who can pack some things, who can pack some projects, and also navigate through the debate of ministries who are saying we need this from that cake, but you need to balance and also see where to get the money, because that is a very important responsibility. And let's hope she's going to deliver, or she's going to drive through that 2026 with a strategic approach, not only to put more money into a short term, but also looking ahead to say, what are the long term investment we are going to make? How many trees we are going to plant that will serve us beyond 2030? because all the national development print all the roads is to 2030. But know that life is not going to end in 2030. We cannot kill ourselves toward 2030. We must make sure that if we cannot achieve some, there are some gears that we have to put on so that we can be able to achieve. Now, the question is also what we also need to ask ourselves is that what is the responsibility of an ordinary person when it comes to national budget? What is that you need to do? How do you capitalize on the budget? How do you exercise how do you use that opportunity to gain some coins, to gain some money, and also develop your country? Because when the budget is passed, transaction is made, or the ministry are looking at here. But the question that you're always asking is that how do you follow the money? How do you follow the finance? And ask any ministry. Ask, look at their procurement units. Who do they use within that area? Look at what do they buy locally. Maybe you also get that opportunity to be one of the service providers. And we're always indicating to say, time is now. Time is now when the informal sector, we are not only going to use them to take pictures, but when the informal sector should also be utilized. Really, if you have an event in Oshakati, a national event in Oshakati, yes, you can hire catering, but why can't you empower also those who are from the open market? Give them opportunity. They should subcontract, or they should have their space where they are also serving you, because those are the people who are holding the national economy. If you have an event somewhere, if you have a national event, even Independence Day, if people need kapana, kapana must be there. And if people need fat cakes, there must always be somebody from a local community. Because it's not correct, it's not right at all. And if we have an event of tourism, why can't we make sure that we are using those who are making clothes, those who are making artifacts also to showcase? And interestingly, we must also move beyond, because the budget is not only funding domestic affairs, we are also funding external relation, external trips. To say, if you have China Africa conference, make sure that you take somebody, even with unregistered business, but that person who is making artifacts, somebody who is who is in tourism business, those artists, why can't you take one, fund two, so they can accompany you, so that they can sell Namibia and in the right way? Because that is the only way that you are going to empower the little, the one who are at the edge of economic development. Because if you do that, then there is no doubt that we are going to reach prosperity. And also to say, do not let the president down, because the president has communicated. The question is that are those who are charged with the responsibility also doing the job? And there is always this aspect of, you see, when you get into meeting some of the people from the ministry, even an ordinary accountant or an assistant accountant, there are people who think responsibilities are only for seniors. But you can also be a sabotage to the system, because there are people who think that you know, responsibility of implementing is only for the senior, it's only for the ED, it's only my director is this, my chief is like this. Even you too, the receptionist or the administrator, can also be the only reason that the ministry is not performing, because your point of entry make it difficult for people to use the resources of that ministry. But it's interesting. It's interesting also to see if there are also reports on previous performance, because we need to do things differently. If you are speaking about business unusual, what is all limiting us to report what happened beforehand, then we look into the future? What is going to be difficult also to report how the SOEs have performed, how the project of governments are doing, how the constructions of hospitals are going, before we present what we have? Because it's going to be interesting.
because just a number of being, it's just a matter of being accountable. And also to ask that the other time that the Rukato and other parliamentarian, they say no, we need more time to study this document. I think let us not be used as a delay. But if really people need to study the document, it's going to be fine if they have to study the document and answer and ask the questions that need to be answered beforehand. Maybe people can negotiate on the timing, but proper reading and understanding numbers, where the money is coming from, how much is coming from domestic, domestic funds, how much are we getting from SACCO, and also to settle the debate, also to say, do we need to be part of SACCO or do we need to go away with other, we need to go away and also look at other international agreements. Who is winning in this agreement, in this oldest custom union in the world? Who is gaining more? And what do we have to lose? Are we going to lose our trade if we are not part of SACCO? Because it's still the same trade. So the same guys we have in SADC, and still the same guys that we have in the continent. And maybe too, there is also accessing of market, and maybe the right question when it comes to accessing of market beyond Namibian borders is to say, when it comes, for example, from when it comes to African continental free trade area, the first shipment was done in June, where we gave around 45,000 tons to Nigeria, and to say how consistent is the external trade, how consistent is the trade relations between Namibia and Nigeria? Was it just for the sake of picture, or that trade is still consistent? Is it the conflict in northern Nigeria impacted our trade? And we also know the other aspect of African Continental Free Trade Area was when we traded with Kenya in terms of hides, but what else is done in terms of accessing the continental market, accessing that 1.5 billion market, and also looking at the GDP of trillions of dollars, to say when we trade with African Union, when we trade with Africa, what are we taking to the world, and are we ready to, as smaller businesses? And maybe just before we look at concluding, what is interesting is also our smaller businesses, to say something must really be done, especially 2026, when it comes to smaller businesses, because smaller businesses, when you are looking at them, the SMEs, when you are looking at them, particularly from the starting point, I look at the introduction of new incubation centers, then I'm asking myself the question of what is the context of a baby adult if the incubation center was supposed to have me for 3 years, and you find an adult baby business in an incubation center for 10 years, and we don't speak about this. What is so difficult for Namibian businesses, smaller businesses, to grow? What makes it difficult? Is the environment congested? Is it that there's no government support? Is it that there's no collaboration? Or is it the regulation? Is it that they are overlooked? What are they saying? And what needs to be done moving forward? Because it's very clear. It's very clear that it's not the government that is going to create a job for us. It has never been done in Singapore. in China, but it's a private sector that is operating at a fair, at an environment that is conducive, the private sector which is supported, and the private sector which is prioritized before international companies. We now the trajectory has changed, especially looking at how African countries look at international investors. With much respect, international investors have put more money in Africa since 1990. But the problem is also that they also dictated on how development should be. And it made it very difficult for African countries. Because if you dictate, you come to my house, you see me, I'm not wearing a shirt. Maybe I'm feeling hot. Then you want to buy me 20 shirts, but my need is food. That is where things are going out, because developmental partners, although they put more money, they also make it very difficult for Africans due to clear understanding of what is needed. That is why, when you listen, especially to the recent 39th African Union summit, you realize to see people are looking at domestic investment. So, dear listeners, that will bring us to the end of our conversation. From me, David Shombe, sharp, sharp. See you around. See you tomorrow.